Y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3. Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling Stones is a raptor, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Daddy got nothing to do with rap. Check the facts, expose those cats. Who poses heroes?
Well, heidi ho. And welcome to Miguel and Holly Uncensored.
Oh,
it's
it's our uncensored podcast that we do every week, yeah, where we like to talk about everything that we have to leave off the table on our show on Hot 101.5. My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Miss Holly O'Connor.
Hi.
That is associate producer Scotty the Body from USF.
What up?
And producer Ryan is on vacation.
Yes.
He's on vacation. He's actually making some extra money.
I can't blame him.
No, not at all. He said, I have this extra photography job that I can do, and I can make some money. And we're like, girl, bye.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get a little cut of it?
That's fine.
Holly, what are you chewing on?
Sorry, I really wanted to take my B12 gummies.
Hey, I feel like I need a little
extra boost. And so I just really wanted to get my B12 in.
Can I have some of your B12?
Yes.
Let me see.
We're going to be chewing in the mouth.
Yeah, sorry. I don't mean to chew. This is like radio 101 that you don't do.
But it's not radio. This is a podcast.
No, it's a podcast.
Podcast rules are different.
Scott, what do you have going on today while I chew these things or this weekend?
This weekend? I need to go pick up clothes like legitimately because I messed up my paycheck like 2 weeks ago and so I didn't get paid because like I messed up my timesheet and I didn't submit it in time. So I had to wait until this week to get my old paycheck and this week's paycheck.
Oh.
So, you're getting double paychecks today.
Yeah. I mean, technically, no, but to me, it feels like it. Yeah. So I'm like, wow, I have so much money. So
right.
I should probably go do the shopping that I've planned on doing for a while and getting like maybe a new pair of jeans that my girlfriend keeps telling me I need. So
how old are your jeans that you have on now?
These jeans are awesome, first off.
Okay.
I love these.
Listen, I was not attacking your jeans.
No, because my girlfriend attacks them.
Wow.
Yesterday, she's like, you need a new set of jeans. I'm like,
triggered.
I love these jeans.
Triggered.
First off, they feel so good. They're like a year or 2 years. Three.
I don't know. That's not that bad.
They're not bad. I mean, jeans last a while, but I think she wants me to get like a nice dark pair of jeans where you go out and like dark pair, because these aren't really...
Wait, can you walk around? I haven't seen those. I haven't seen those.
I really just love how triggered Scott just got when I brought that up.
They're not bad. I mean, here's what sucks for dudes in America. There's nowhere to carry your stuff.
Your
pockets are out of control right now. Like, what are you even carrying in there?
I got my wallet, a lot of cash in there, so it's thick.
Hold on, let me see.
Look at his front and back pockets. It's just stuff. It looks all chunky. Like clunky.
Show me that ass.
Oh, that's not what I had said. So it's a lot of stuff.
You got a lot of junk in there.
So I feel
you got
like
a lot of junk in your trunk.
Guys don't have anywhere to put stuff, so that's an issue. But then those are fine. Are those the only pair of jeans you have?
I have a duplicate pair of these jeans. Like they're literally the same pair. But they're so comfortable. They stretch. I love them. But I guess what she's saying is like you need a pair of like nice dark jeans so when you go out. You could wear like.
Yeah.
Good looking going out clothes.
Like with a blazer.
Yeah.
Or not a blazer, like a sport jacket or something.
Something like that, but I don't have any of that. So I'll probably go do that today.
Now, because you're about to graduate from college and you're part-time here at the radio station, how did you survive without getting a paycheck for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Like if I did not get a paycheck, I would be on the street.
We'd be in disarray at my house.
Yes. I have my savings that I pulled money from and I like... It kind of helped me save money because I knew I didn't want to spend that much of my savings. So I just took a chunk out and I put it in my account. And I was like, okay, you got to live off this for the next 2 weeks. So go get your groceries and that's it.
Mm.
And make it work. So I didn't go out or anything to go eat or go drink, anything like that. I just made sure I could go to the grocery store to get food.
That's smart.
God, I feel like when I was 22, like savings account, I had nothing. Nothing.
Well, you were, that's not all your fault. You were behind.
Yeah,
you
that's
you
true.
Didn't have the tools even like early on because I feel like my mom, when I moved into my first apartment and I wanted to get like a new car, which by the way, it was a lease, I think. It was super cheap at the time. Chevy doesn't even make those cars anymore.
No.
But,
with the Cobalt?
Yeah.
Yes, a little silver bullet.
Yeah, it was my silver bullet. So I was going to, go lease this car, and it was like my first apartment on my own. And so my mom came down to help me buy the car, lease the car, and she was like, can you afford this, though? And I was like, I think. And she was like, Okay. Mm. Here's how life works. And literally on a piece of paper wrote down, well, what do your paychecks look like? And right. I told her. And then she, you know, estimated how much I had coming in. And then she's like, well, what do you need to pay every month? Then she wrote down everything that's coming out. And she's like, okay, so you really can only barely afford a car payment. And I was like, oh. So, Miguel, nobody did that for you.
Absolutely not. Like, I remember when I got my first job out of college. Like, I was able to, like, keep sort of afloat when I was in college. I had a special scholarship when I started because I was in special ed in middle school and high school. So that's where, like, a lot of my school was paid for, and then through some other scholarships that I had. And so I had, like, a little money that I would get left over from my grants and stuff that I would use to pay for stuff. But then, luckily, like, literally the first semester of my freshman year, I was an RA. And so I was able to use that money for spending money. And then I started working at the radio station in town. And then I was also the student newspaper editor. So, like, those jobs paid.
Yeah.
So I had money, but I didn't have to pay for anything else. So it was great. It was gravy. Like, I used to get my hair. When I was in college, my first 2 years, I used to go and get my hair braided.
Oh.
And I would spend, like, $80 on that.
Oh, geez.
Because I had extra money. And I was like, oh, it's fine. You know, everything is paid for. So why not? Well, then after college, when I got my first job and I was making like $20,000 a year, and they were like, all right, here's your apartment. I think my apartment was like $600. My electricity, I didn't have any cable. I was like bare bones. I think I was paying for my cell phone by this point. And so I was like, all right, this is good. I'm making $21,000 a year. Like, I'm rich, basically, like thousands of dollars. It's not part time.
Yep.
And then when you get that first paycheck that was like $600 and my rent was like $590 or something like that, I was like, wait.
Yep.
But how do you get gas and how do you get food? I don't.
Yeah.
So I had to get a second job. And then I had to get a second job. And so I did not understand the concept of, like, here's your paycheck. You got to pay all these other people, and then you get what's left over.
Right.
But then from what's left over, you should put a little bit away for if something breaks down.
Well, and it sucks because when you're in those first, you know, years of a job, oftentimes you don't have enough to put away.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So the fact that, Scott, you know about it and you're actively doing it, you're already, like, leg up.
Yes.
Well, luckily, my parents are huge, like, helps with it. I mean, my mom works in a bank.
Oh.
And so, well, I mean.
But see, that's the good thing.
She was able to kind of help me start that savings account. And
that's
then my
great.
Family, like, when I was growing up, anytime I would get, like, a birthday, like, present or, like, money, it would be like, okay, you're going to take a section of this and just put it in there.
Yeah.
And now it's actually added up where it's like, okay, I'm decent enough to, like, just keep that there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it just in case, like, last week, it's like, I don't have a paycheck. I'm going to just grab some.
It's smart.
And keep me afloat.
Yeah.
And now I can put more in there with this paycheck because my parents still support me a lot while I'm still in school.
That's so awesome. I mean, everybody grows up differently and everyone's battle is different. I'm appreciative of that for you because that's given you a leg up in the challenges that you already don't have to face that I did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, God, how much further would I be along in life with finances if I would have had that sort of foundation?
No. Miguel,
no.
Look at me. I had that foundation, and we are in the same damn boat, okay?
Just like, paddling on together.
We hanging out. Yes, you would have gotten, you wouldn't have had such a struggle mm-hmm. in the early years, but I think it would have all evened out by now.
Right.
Like, I don't think you would be, like, a millionaire by now.
No, oh, absolutely not. We worked in radio.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, we all got to where we got. It's just that you had a tougher road.
Yeah.
Period.
Always.
Yep.
With everything.
Yep. Yep.
Holly, what's going on in your life?
Well, what are we talking about? So basically, I'm getting ready for like summer
mm-hmm.
in my house. And mm-hmm. also there's been a lot going on in my house. There's some stuff that my boyfriend's going through, like personal stuff. And mm-hmm. I can't really talk about it yet because it's not my story.
Okay.
He'd like to share the story. He'd like to be on the podcast and share the story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But not yet. So, I mean, okay. Is that cool with you? Because
yeah, girl, come on. You know, listen, is it like something very serious? I'm assuming if it's something you can't talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Then it's a serious topic. But I think that, you know, when he's ready to talk about it, it's going to help so many people.
Mm.
And that's sort of his goal with all of this is mm-hmm. that, like, you know, what he's sort of processing and learning about right now
mm-hmm.
is you know, he wishes that he would have known sooner. So it's something that when you pass it along, it's helpful because you're helping others.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
And so without getting into it, I'm excited and I'm really proud of him. And I just want to, you know, protect that because, again, not my story. And he's super willing to share, but he's still processing. So, I don't know what time, when. I mean, it's going to be a while, obviously.
That's fine. Whenever he's ready.
The podcast is very public, clearly. Yeah. So it's going to be a little while. But I do want you to know that that he wants to come on and that I think it's going to be really amazing, despite the fact that it's serious.
Listen, if it's anything that can help affect other people and help them in a positive way and is also therapeutic,
yeah.
I'm all down for that.
Same.
That's what I was talking. I'm trying to remember who I was talking with about yesterday. It was at my gym. We were practicing for our CrossFit competition and we were talking about, someone asked me about like ratings and how do radio ratings work. And like, that's something we can't talk about here on the show or legally at all.
No.
But I was explaining to them, you know, behind the scenes, like how it works and whatnot. And then we got into like talking about, you know, why do we talk about certain things on the show and like what sort of interest do we have? And I'm like, if Holly and I were left to our devices, it would be a talk show where it would be like, here's crazy, like fun pop culture news, and then here's an hour of us ripping someone apart emotionally.
In a
like,
good in, way.
Exactly, like tearing you down, figuring you out, and then building you back up and giving you the tools to live a better emotional life.
We should do that. Like, not right now, maybe, but like, that would be amazing.
Like, like someone comes to us and they're like, so here's, I'm having a difficult time in life.
Yes.
Whether it may, whatever that may be.
Yes.
And then we dissect it.
Yes. Because
we have the time. Because that's why I have a hard time doing like advice segments on the radio.
Oh, yeah. God, I know.
Because it's like, you know, you really want to help someone, but we only have 4 minutes.
Right. And what are you really going to do in 4 minutes except spout a couple of, maybe a couple of gems?
Exactly.
And then it's on to Post Malone.
Exactly. So it's like, I don't, that's why we do it if it's like something sort of surface level, but like the real emotional work, I'm like, girl, we need to talk about it.
Yeah, and I would say, obviously, like, we're not going to do this anytime soon, but my guess would be the people that need help have already sort of a little bit started their own process.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that would be so fascinating to me. I am fascinated by psychology and how and why people do what they do, why being the key factor, because I feel like everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a purpose driving people's actions, thoughts, words, and so it just really, it's so fascinating to me to make those connections. And then once you do, it's like, I know it sounds stupid, but I feel like, you know, you win a prize.
No, it's true.
Because you're like, I got it. And it's so exciting.
You're living a better life for yourself at that point.
And then you can understand who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's the work. When we talk about, when we do like our in-depth podcasts, when we're like, whoa, you need to do the work and, you know, get to know you and blah, blah. And I think it's hard for some people to understand what that means because they're like, what work?
Right. What does that mean?
If I get like a workbook, like take a personality quiz? No. I mean, yes, you can take a personality quiz, but it's more about understanding where you came from, the events that shaped you, the people who shaped you, and how that impacts who you are today.
True. That was one of the things, one of my takeaways from the musical that I saw this week, Dear Evan Hansen. And it basically deals with a high school kid who is dealing with anxiety, some depression. There is a suicide that he tries to benefit from. This kid does, Evan Hansen, in an accidental way. And then, like, it takes you through, like, this whole storyline. It's a really well-written and it was well-acted musical. I mean, I was in it. I was, like, in the story.
Mm.
But it affects you in so many different ways if you've dealt with suicide before or if you deal with anxiety or depression. And one of the also topics that was, like, really powerful for me and one of my friends, Chris and I, were talking about is the relationship that you have with your parents and how I think my biggest gem that I took from it is that when you're a parent, you're doing the best you can with the tools you're given.
Yeah.
And you do the best. And then you as a human being spend half of your life trying to like correct the mistakes that your parents made.
Right.
But they were trying in most senses, outside of cases of like abuse and stuff like that.
Right.
But usually most parents are doing the best they can, and then you try to spend your time correcting it, and then by influence and using those tools that you got to put on your kid, but then your kid's going to be like, but you didn't do this.
Right. It's always because your kid is not you.
Right.
So they need a different level of whatever parenting method, tools, whatever it is. And so that's what makes parenting so difficult.
Yeah.
Because yes, you're trying to undo like any damages that your parents may have unintentionally inflicted on you. And so once you kind of feel right with yourself, and then let's say you have kids, you're like, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
Your kid is not you. Your kid is not anybody that you've ever met before.
Right.
So, you know, whatever it is you learned, yeah, it's definitely helpful, but you're going to be presented with issues and challenges that you've never come across and you don't know how to handle, and you may do it wrong.
Yeah.
For the kid.
It's true.
But you, again, you're doing your best.
And that's sort of what I came to after watching that. Like I, for so long, I spent so much time being, I'm trying to think of the word, like I was mad, bitter. I just felt like I was not given a fair chance at life.
And this even goes back to the financial conversation we were just having.
Exactly. Because my mom, like my grandmother, I think she got to like third grade, and like that's as far as she got in school.
Yeah.
And so then you take that and she's teaching my mom lessons, and my mom had a very traumatic childhood, and she had some things that I don't think she's ever dealt with. And so then you take that, and then she's raising me, and then the way that I was conceived. And so then there's like all these things that tumble along. So I didn't understand when I was younger that my mom had not healed from her hurt.
Yeah.
And so she was not emotionally able to, when I was younger, to understand an emotionally hungry kid.
Yeah.
Like, I was a kid who I could feel things, I could sense things, but I couldn't put a name to it. Mm. I couldn't wrap my head around, why did I feel this way? And I remember, like, even in middle school, like, feeling that, like, I feel so heavy in my emotions. Like, I remember going to my health teacher one time when I was a freshman in high school, and we were talking about personality disorders and like bipolar disorder. And I remember going to him and I was like, I think I'm gonna be bipolar because my emotions, and especially in middle school and high school, were such extremes. And like any little thing could tip it off. Whereas like now, if I'm like really angry, I can control it.
Yeah.
And I can rationalize and try to dig down and understand, but I didn't have those tools then.
You didn't, because first of all, you're a child still.
Right.
And your emotional brain is still growing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what teenagers do. But for someone who feels emotions strongly, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Because you are all over the map.
Oh my gosh. It was so crazy. Like when I read my blog from high school and college,
yeah,
I'm like, it just feels like someone took 5 different colors of paint and they just smashed it on the ground, and it's me just trying to like figure it out and trying to figure out my emotions. And I really wish as I got older and started to like read and understand that I would have kept up with my blog to sort of see like the evolution of thought and the evolution of my personality and like how I've healed myself and I've come to peace with like how I was brought up. And I look at it as a positive thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't look at it and be like, I didn't learn. Like, I look at it as that's what made me who I am. That's what made me more empathetic, made me want to help people more and give them the footing in life to be successful because of that. And so everything happens the way that it's supposed to.
For a lot of people, some of those intensely sad or angry memories, or the way that they were brought up, they was, you know, the negative emotions has made them into positive people.
Right.
But it's like a double-edged sword. So you look back on it and you're like, I missed out on having a loving childhood or whatever the case. If you feel like you missed out on whatever it was, that's sadness in you. But that what you went through helped to make you a better person in the long run as you continue to leave your mark in the world.
No,
so it's tough, because a lot of the people that have been through the worst stuff come out so well on the, because they had to adjust to a situation that maybe they didn't want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like the people that oftentimes come up in like in whatever challenging environment, oftentimes those are the people that you see successful because they know all of the emotions.
It's really fascinating. Now, Scott, you as a person who, you know, a few years younger than us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you hear this, how does it strike you? Are you like, oh my gosh, what the hell are y'all talking about? Or, oh, I can sort of see.
No,
and either answer is fine.
No, definitely now I see where these things are coming from, and it makes a lot more sense. It was just kind of funny when you're talking about the play on how it kind of brought up the things of anxiety and depression and stuff in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought to myself, I was like, we never had those discussions. Like, I don't think I really started understanding anxiety and what it was until college, where it became a subject of mental health and what it actually is. Because in high school, I'm sure people were going through it, but nobody ever brought it up. Nobody ever was like, if you're dealing with anxiety, here's how you deal with it. It was just kind of fascinating because that wasn't that long ago. That was 5 years ago where I was in my senior year, but nobody even had that conversation. But as soon as I hit my freshman year of college, it was like mental health was a subject. So it's like having those establishments of younger age, understanding it more, that probably would have helped a crazy amount. Because there's times when my, like, sophomore to senior year where I was going through that extreme of like I loved being with my friends, but I had this horrible relationship that would put me on the lowest of the low, but I didn't know how to deal with it, so I'd take it out as extreme anger instead of knowing how to go about that route. But nobody really brought those discussions up, and so it's hard to kind of navigate that.
And teen emotions are so strong.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, you're dealing with people who are hormonal and emotional anyway. And then they're not really that well equipped to deal with all of the harsh realities of school, which, by the way, I would never want to go back to high school. Like, it was rough because you are faced with all these new situations that a lot of times continue to happen into adult life, but you're so emotional and so, you know, hormonal about everything. It's like a ticking time bomb.
Well, and especially now with social media.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, and that's what some of the play Dear Evan Hansen deals with, is that, you know, When Holly and I were in high school, like, were you on AOL chat yet?
AOL chat started for me my senior year, so I dabbled in it.
Okay,
but it definitely, I didn't have like friends online. It was just like there were chat rooms, and I was like scared, of course, because my mom was like, "Strangers will come to our house and kidnap you," and yes. I was like, "Oh God,
oh here they come."
So I was just really scared to do really anything, and that was later because we didn't get a computer until I was a senior.
Mm.
So I mean, I didn't have that, and
yeah.
Social media didn't exist until I was out of college.
Oh
so
no,
I was really lucky because that's why I'm the Xennial, I think, like the last of the Generation X, but definitely solidly a millennial,
mm-hmm.
where we grew up with zero technology.
Right.
I mean, I didn't even have a cell phone until I was 22.
Mm.
I didn't have social media. I didn't do any of that stuff until after college. And then since I was still young enough, I fully integrated into the technological revolution. So I see it now, but I've got a different perspective on it than people who have grown up with it through high school.
Yeah, because we had AOL chat rooms, and I was like, I wouldn't say bullied. I was harassed a little bit,
mm-hmm.
In the chat rooms and stuff from people from my high school. But I cannot imagine what it is like to, I'm thinking about the feelings and the emotions that I felt because I lived so far away from where my high school and middle school was, and so I would always feel like left out because my weekends were spent with my church friends a little bit, and then I was by myself. Like, that was it. That's all I did on my weekends in middle school and high school. And so I remember, like, they had, like, a reality show where they followed, like, high school kids around. Maybe it was on PBS. Maybe it was on Fox or MTV or something. But I remember specifically one time watching it, and they were all, like, at a party. And it wasn't just, like, a fake scripted TV show. It was real. And I was like, my life sucks. Like, I'm sitting here by myself, and all my rich friends are up there in Roswell having the best fucking time, and I'm sitting here in this little apartment, this one-bedroom apartment with my grandmother. I'm miserable. I cannot imagine if social media existed and I would have actually seen my friends do that stuff while I was sitting at home.
Same.
Like, uh-huh.
Like, I know that I was sitting at home, but I also knew that my friends were out somewhere. There was I had a really... Ugh, it was my birthday when I was turning 18. No, 17. So 16 to 17, and my birthday's on New Year's. So I invited people over on New Year's Eve for a party at my house. We were going to be in the basement, and my mom had people upstairs or whatever. And a few of my friends came, like a core group. It was like, I think, four of them, which was great. But I invited a lot of people because I was like, it's New Year's. Like, what else are you going to do? Like, there's not like a big New Year's party for 17-year-olds.
Right.
Nobody else came. And then, of course, later, way after the fact, I found out that they went to some very popular boy's house because his parents had alcohol.
Oh.
And, like, first of all, I was super naive, and I didn't know about, like, drink. I was just like, that's not allowed.
Like, who, just, nobody drinks?
So I didn't drink, and that's why, obviously, they didn't want to come over to my house. Right. They're my, like,
oh, Born Holly's going to have Pringles and Oreos, yes, and that's about it.
And play a game of life. And my mom literally made us get out the life game board and play a game. It's fine. But, like, so if I had seen it on social media, that would have killed me. Because you know you would have seen it.
Right.
I don't know how kids do it.
Well, what was it like, Scott? I mean, Instagram and Facebook was around when you were in high school.
Yeah,
like, how did that, like, what was that like?
I haven't thought about this in so long. But, I mean, I think everybody, no matter, and this is what I was kind of thinking about during that conversation, is like everybody, even if you were at the party, like this is where like FOMO really started to happen, especially, and that's what I just thought of, because in high school, I wasn't like, I wouldn't say like the most popular kid. I didn't go hang out with like the rich kids that had the huge parties on the beach, but everyone knew about them because anybody you followed on social media was at it. I wasn't necessarily, let's say, invited, but I think I was still having a great time with my friends, or we would be doing something. It would be like, you know, three or four of us. And no matter what, even if that was the better time, like you still looked at it like, I wish I was there. Like, why didn't I get invited?
Yeah.
I say hi to these people in the hallway all the time. Like, that'd be so dope. Like, what is it like over there? I wish I was rich on the beach and everything like that. But then I start thinking about it, and I think people over there, as soon as they got alone, they did the same thing when I would put up stories or anything with my friends and be like, oh, that looks so fun. So, like, both sides, I think, are battling that little war of I want to be there instead of what I'm doing. Because I saw plenty of stories and Instagrams of, like, partying in high school, and it looks so fun. But then it's kind of funny because now I think you just see, like, a reverse of people. Like, you see the people that went into it partying hard and thought they were living the life.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't seem like they are. Like, now it seems like they've kind of fallen off the map and whatever. I don't like to look at popularity as a term, but you see the people that kind of kept their head in the lane and didn't care about all that back then are really doing great stuff now when I follow up on them through Instagram or Facebook.
When you would look at those stories of the people of these, you know, rich parties on the beach and whatnot, like, how did it make you feel when you would see that and then be like, oh, why didn't they invite me?
I mean, I think it's just like people were fake. Like, I think it was just a feeling of like,
I mean, but did you feel like you can see that now? Did you feel that now or did you feel hurt?
I definitely felt hurt. I mean, it was more so like, am I enough? Why am I like not popular enough to be invited to these? Because I had a friend. I mean, I still have the friend. Like, he would always go, but it wasn't like, how does he get to go and I don't, you know? But should I care about that?
Yeah.
And luckily, I didn't so much then, but it was still that feeling of, am I not cool enough to hang out with these people? Like, I'm funny. I could be around them too. Like, but I'm not invited.
Yeah. Did you ever ask him why you did not get invited?
No, I think back then, I think I saw the perspective of I was really headstrong. I'm like, I'm going to stay good on my academics, my sports. And I also had, depending on the year, I had a very controlling girlfriend that it wasn't going to happen anyway. So, like, no matter what, I wasn't going to go because I wasn't about doing, you know, drugs and getting crunk way out on the East Coast, because then I'd have to find a way to get home again. So it's like, I'll just hang out with my friends and do my own thing.
Wait, these kids in high school, they would come over to, like, Tampa?
No, they would, like, this was over in Vero. Like, it would be over, like, there's a, what you would call the island. You would go over the bridge, and that would be, like, where the really rich families lit. Like, rich. Like, if you know Vero Beach, like, that money is on the island. And people lived there from my high school and everything like that. And they would throw parties at their, like, parents' mansions.
So it was like a legit teen movie over there.
Legitimately. But I never got to go to any, so I don't know what it's like. But
yeah.
I had a friend that got to go, and I would see his stories, and he would tell us all the stories. But he was more so like the wild child. Like, he would get, even to this day, lit.
That's probably why he was invited.
Yes. I mean, he's definitely part of that crowd.
They need to see other people acting like a jackass so they can be like, haha, that's funny.
Yeah.
And I just feel like any teen, because like when I was in high school, that's when suddenly like a crop of teen movies kind of popped up. Mm-hmm. It was She's All That.
Yeah.
It was, what's that other one? American Pie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so those style of movies, right? They all came out right when I was that age. Mm-hmm. And I never thought about it, but it baffles me because I was like, that was so far removed from my high school experience.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I was like, well, this is obviously fake. Like, nobody does this. I didn't even know. That's how far in the bubble I was.
Oh, yeah.
That I didn't even know that She's All That, American Pie, those style of movies. Teenagers were doing those things, and that's why they made the movies about them.
Well, I remember when American Pie came out, I think it was the summer of me going into the eighth grade, and I remember we snuck into the movie theater to go see it.
Yeah. So did I.
Yeah.
I was going into my junior year, and I wasn't old enough to see it yet.
Yeah, and I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, high school is going to be so crazy. Like, I'm so, like, the parties with the red cups, I'm so excited. I didn't go to...
No.
I think I went to... No, that was after high school.
I'm saying I never went to a party like that.
I went to
that.
A couple of graduation parties my senior year. That's about it.
Yeah.
And then this is how the media, like, and for me especially, like, because I've spent so much time alone growing up. That's why it messed me up so much because I had these expectations in my mind. And so when I got pollen, allergies.
Yeah.
So when I got to college, I thought it was going to be, because I was coming up around all those times, all those movies came out. Then, like, when the college stuff came out, like Felicity and stuff like that.
When they had Dawson's Creek.
Oh, my God.
Don't even get me started. I legitimately went into my mom's room and I go, I just want to have an adventure. I didn't even know what that meant. I don't know what that was, but I knew that I wanted to be going to these parties where boys and girls are making out.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
You think anybody made out of my party on New Year's Eve that one year?
Girl,
no.
I was always hoping that, like, some of those, like, back in the day, Dawson's Creek, where they had, like, the gay character, where somebody would, like, look at me and be like, ooh, hey, and be like, we can't talk about it, and he'd be, like, the quarterback on the football team, and we have this, like, relationship. No.
And none of that shit happens. Like, honestly, it's like when little kids watch Disney movies and they think that there's going to be, like, a prince coming. They're not, by the way. Same thing, like when you watch these teen movies, that's not what life is really like for us anyway. I never had anything like that.
I'm curious, Danny. I'm sorry.
We're taking over your studio, Danny.
No. I want in on this.
Yes.
I am a movie guy.
Mm.
And you mentioned American Pie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned parties, red cups. And I went to Chamberlain King High School here locally.
Mm-hmm.
So I would throw these quote-unquote red cup parties.
Oh, you were the one throwing the party?
He was the popular.
Here is reality, though.
Okay.
I would, go to the room and get a little fresh with a girl.
Oh.
She's 15 years old, a dad. I became a dad at my own party because I did the no-no with a girl upstairs that was wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up being my girlfriend for quite a while through high school and my baby mama to this day.
Wow.
So that's the reality. They don't tell you that part on American Pie.
No, they
that's
sure
on kids
shit
instead.
Do not.
Now, hold on. I can't skip over this part.
No, that's big.
Now, were you wasted too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because when you said it, I was like, my alarm bells, when you said she was wasted and we did it, and I was like, wait.
No, I was usually the DJ at these parties, mm-hmm. and there was a keg, and alcohol was there for young folk. I don't know how it got there.
I'm about to say, where did the alcohol come from?
What are you, McLovin'? What are you doing? Like, where are you getting this?
No, there was no fake IDs. Did you just say we had an adult that was standing by who got it for us? That was the responsible adult, I should say.
They weren't responsible if they're buying all these kids.
But some parents want to be the cool parents.
A baby came from it, so it's not so cool, okay?
Hey, let's just say it was not my parents, though. It was not my parents, but it was their house, and they knew what was going on, but they're like, they conveniently went to Puerto Rico that weekend.
Wow.
That is crazy to me.
Now,
my sister was the ringleader, by the way. Not me.
Okay, so when you, how old were you when you...
About 15. She was pregnant at 15, but I had the baby when we were 16. So
wow.
Yeah.
So how did that change your life at that time? What did y'all go through?
I wasn't a kid anymore. First of all, I had to get a job and school. So I went to Busch Gardens, got a job, picking trash and doing the dolphin show and stuff. That didn't last very long because I was a kid still in my head and down below too. So I wanted to keep on fucking around, as they say.
Wait. After you had a kid, you still were like, ooh.
More kids. I got more kids, actually.
Wait, really?
I ended up having another kid.
How many kids do you have, Danny?
I have 5 kids.
Woo!
I thought you had 4.
No, well, one's a stepchild now.
Okay.
I add her in there because
absolutely.
She's my child.
Add her in.
Right. But I say four and a half.
Oh my gosh.
Four and a half.
I had no idea.
I didn't. Now, where is the second? kid.
Jonathan is the second kid, and he's here locally. Now, you know the first kid, Jordan, who's in the Marines over in California
and
right now.
How old is he now?
Who, Jordan?
Uh-huh.
He's 20.
Yeah, he looks real good, too.
Yeah. My gal!
I know it's really weird to say.
Yes, it is.
I know. Well, listen, when you posted that picture and you were like, I'm so proud of my son. He just got to the Air Force. I was like, I showed
Marine.
My boyfriend,
Marine. Yeah.
I was like, girl! Did you see Daddy's son? Girl, I lost my damn mind.
You can hear it. That's exactly.
That makes sense.
Well, Jonathan is very similar. A little bit more weight on him, but he has long, luscious hair.
Oh.
His mother is half Indian. Different mother, by the way. Mm. I was a whore. Oh, man. Wow. Now you know why I had a vasectomy when I was doing mornings out in Biloxi.
Oh, really? So you got it snipped. You were like, no more. I'm done. I'm good.
And if you've ever been recognized in the weirdest places, I think getting a vasectomy has got to be the worst situation. Because, you know, I'm sure you've been to the grocery store getting your beer at Winn-Dixie. Or sorry, you're a Publix guy. So if you're at Publix getting your stuff and someone's like, oh, you're Miguel. Mm-hmm. Well, imagine being on a table getting your, you know, getting snipped and your nuts are just hanging out. Your boys are everywhere. And the lady's like, aren't you Danny? I went by Danny Donut. Aren't you Danny Donut in the morning? Danny Donut. And I went very far from where I lived to get this done so this wouldn't happen.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yet it still happened.
Was she like, ooh, hey, look at you.
No,
you're very impressive.
No, I was so,
you're very
the doctor's
virile.
Like, oh, the doctor, that was the nurse. The doctor's like, oh, you know him? And she's like, yeah, I listen to him every day. We're on the way to work here. He's like, oh, isn't this great?
You're like, can we not while my junk is on the table?
Like, let me just stop it. Now, what advice did you give to your boys? Because obviously you were a wild child back then.
Yeah.
What did you tell them when they were coming up?
How do you help them?
Well, I think what I do is I tell them the jobs that I had before I got to radio. And every time I had a job doing something else, it was always to work and, you know, on the weekends, be here on radio. It was always working towards being on radio. So I would have real shitty jobs. And I would tell them, this is the shitty job I had to support you at the time. And look how far I've got. Look how long it's taken me to have a full-time job in radio. When normally, if I would have stayed in school, went to college, did all the things that normal people do, like yourself and Holly, I would have gotten radio a lot faster, and I would have, you know, done better because I was in radio since I was 9, technically. Mm. So I already knew the hard, you know, the behind-the-scenes workings of radio, but I just didn't know the educational part, how to speak right, just write papers and do different reports. I didn't know how to do that stuff, and to this day, I really struggle with it, but I work on it. So I explain to them, I say, look, it was a struggle. You know, it was a struggle for me growing up as a kid, raising you, me and your mother. So look how that struggle was. And they see it. They know it. Because when all their friends are rocking J's, they pushing these Walmart Shaquille O'Neals, man.
Hey. $20.
And, you can run just as fast in these shoes right here, son. And unfortunately, that's how I grew up. That's exactly how I grew up. Grew up poor, wearing the Walmart, the Payless shoes. And so now, as an adult, I have the little extra money, and I could help them get their car insurance or work on an engine or something like that. And I feel good. But now they have their own gigs. Now they went on the right path, the correct not get someone pregnant early path, which I love. And they went through school, and they continue to go to school.
Mm, so I bet you're so proud.
I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed right now. I have two other kids that are very young, two and a half. I'm sorry. I have two other and a half other kids that are very young still. So I still have to, I feel like I'm there for them more than I was for the older ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just hope they turn out well or not corrupt, because I'm a lunatic. I don't know if you know this.
Oh, I know.
I'm
can
crazy.
Tell. Yeah. Now, do you think so earlier, because you weren't, but we're doing the podcast right now in the hot studio, and we're encroaching on Danny's show right now.
Yeah,
sorry,
take
Danny.
Your time, man.
Do you, because we were saying earlier how your parents do the best that they can with the tools they have emotionally or monetarily to help you, and then they hope that you do better, and then you keep passing it on. It gets better and better.
Yeah.
I forgot my question.
Was it something about how? No, go ahead.
No, go.
Something about how his parents supported him, or because what? You're saying, so like your parents do the best for you that you can, that they can.
This stoner moment sponsored by.
I know, right?
It really feels like that.
Dang it! Dang it! Well,
happens all the time to me.
I mean, it's the thing. It's like your parents do the best. My question.
Oh! Got it. I'm sorry.
Welcome
I'm sorry.
Back.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let me say it real quick, and then you can say yours too, and then you can answer both.
Shh.
Do you think growing up, your kids, your older kids, were bitter or mad at you because of when you had them, how you had them, and their experience of wearing the Payless shoes? Do you think that they were bitter at you or had any hostility towards you when they were teenagers?
You know, nothing killed my heart more than one day my son Jordan, who's in the Marines, he accidentally texted me when he was supposed to be texting maybe his girlfriend, whomever. Oh. And it said, he was about 14 years old. Mm. So it said, I mean, it killed me, man. He's like, just got dropped off from my dad, his broke ass. Can't stand hanging out with him. And I was crushed. And I was like, well, at least I know how you feel. That's how I responded. And after that, nothing. He didn't say sorry, Dad, or anything like that. And but you know what it did? It told me to step my motherfucking game up.
Right. Mm.
It told me that that's the truth. And maybe it wasn't an accident. Maybe it was in his back of his head.
It needed to be said.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it needed to be said to you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I mean, let's be honest, like when he was 15, I was probably just getting into radio maybe. So it was just maybe doing well on radio, I should say. So, man, I would ignore family a lot because, you know, radio is just like you got to drop everything and let's go. And I was probably a promo guy maybe. Mm. And it was just all about staying out late at Club Sky. And, of course, I'm a horn dog. Not anymore now. Now I'm good. But
Right.
But, you know, it was something that had to be said, and it really taught me how to really look at my kids' feelings, because I remember when I was 14, when I was 14 and 15, I was, you know, just about to have a kid, and all I could think, my hormones were going crazy. I'm like, oh my God, I was going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, man, if you were moist and warm, I was hunching you.
Save all of that.
Even me? Hey, Danny.
No. Save all of that. No, he goes no.
Maybe after a bottle of rum
that's
or something.
Nice, but okay. No, thanks, but no thanks.
And a nice rack.
That's crazy. Okay, so it kind of can, are you, do you have a follow-up or anything?
Nope, that was it. That was perfect.
So my question then is, okay, my parents were decent when I was young, like maybe, you know, birth through, or maybe like two, because my dad was laid off when I was, I think, like 6 months old. So it was rough. And then we went back to work, and we had a period of like a golden age in the 80s where it was well, like things were good. You know, like I was like 5, 6, 7, and the family life is going well. Then everything went to shit. Like my dad, my parents got divorced. We had an unexpected, I have a brother now. And my dad's like, I was not prepared for this.
Oh. What's the age difference? What was the age difference?
8 years. I'm 8 years older than my brother. And so at that time, my mom was 41 and she's all overjoyed. She's like, yeah, I'm pregnant. My dad was like, because he was done already with the marriage. And so then she just happened to get pregnant. Mm. But then they ended up staying together until he was born, and they split up, and then it was rough, like financially rough. And so for me, that super impacted me, because I was like, I've always been empathetic anyway, but I could see that my mom was struggling. So it made me want to be a hard worker, you know, prove that we could do it regardless. And so for me, growing up without was actually a bonus. And I didn't look at it that way until I got older, because I learned these life coping skills. Even though I was pissed at the time a lot, and I would be like, well, you know, they get to go to Jaga Lake and I don't get to go, my mom can't afford the damn ticket. Why can't we go to Disney World? Obviously, we're not going to that shit. Okay. My mom was like, we did not go to the mall. I was like made fun of for my clothes. All of those things made me who I am. I say all that to say, we do okay. We do okay here on the radio. It took us a long time to like claw our way up, you know, but we're doing a morning show in a top 20 market, and we've busted our ass to get here. The good thing is, and when you're a parent, you know, you want your kids to do better than you.
Absolutely.
Because it's all, no matter how well you're doing, you want your kids to flourish. But how, if we're doing okay, if I'm not like, you know, scraping and we're doing a decent living, how do I instill those values in a kid now that doesn't have to legit always struggle? Because the reason we make money is that so our kids can be okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're so
right.
how do you do this?
Make them not douchebags about being
exactly.
Able, you are now able to give them stuff.
I'm able to give her stuff, but I also want her to be grateful, and I want her to know that you don't just get shit. Like have to work for it. But even unintentionally, I can see some things happening where I'm like, oh, shit, I really got to knock her down a peg. What do you do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like to really mirror, believe it or not, my relationship with my kids now with, excuse me, you know Ashton Kutcher, right?
Yeah.
Mila Kunis is his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they're rich. They're famous. They're very smart. But they've told their children that, hey, we're rich, but you're not rich.
Mm.
You're going to earn everything that you're going to get. That's including college, shoes, anything. And I look back at that. I was like, you know, that's what I've done with my kids now. I mean, of course, if they need a vehicle, we're going to work on getting them a vehicle, meaning they're going to sit there and they're going to earn it in some way. So now my son Jonathan has a pickup truck, and he earned it by working on a farm. There's a farm near my mom's house, and they pay cash. They'll pay you, but it's hard work. Mm-hmm. And he earned his truck. So that's what I'll do. I'll drive you to work. I'll make sure, you know, I'll front you the money. We'll get it fixed up. You'll have a ride to go to work, but you're going to work for this money. And then just the way I had to work. I mean, I had to work a full-time job when I was 16 years old. Mm. So, I mean, there's nobody that's going to work harder than me. So you need to work harder than me. That's the way I say it. So, and even, you know, like just like Holly said, that made me. The struggles I had to do made me. I got arrested when I was 17 years old for stealing laptops at my school because I wanted to hack into the school system to change my grades so I can be done with high school so I can work more. Because they won't let you have a full-time job unless you have either a diploma or OJT, which is called on-job training, which is not really a full-time job. You're still limited hours. But I needed money.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do it legitimately, not under the table. And I wanted to have a retirement fund at this young age. So all these things are going through my head at such a young age that now when I compete about, you know, compete for big jobs and big markets like you guys and big radio markets. I mean, I use all those skills that I've earned and learned as a young age to really try to flourish now. Because
right.
There's nobody going to work harder than this motherfucker right here.
Right.
So, yeah, we say the same. But it's like, I guess it's like you have to pick your battles and you can have like, yes, like we're good. You can have like I'm trying to bring my daughter to see Ariana Grande. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I never would have gotten to go to a concert, but it's like stuff like that where I'm like, this is a cool thing I want to do for her. But at the same time, like I want this, I want that. Well, bitch, no.
Right.
Like you don't just get stuff for being you. I mean, you're great, but sorry.
I think it sounds like you have to come up with a system of like, all right, you get this really cool perk, but, like, you got to work for it. Like, it doesn't just happen. So, like, if you're going to go see Ariana Grande, then, you know, she's 5 right now, so she can't, you know, like, paint the house.
Right.
But it's like, for this week, you've got to empty out the garbage in all the bathrooms, you know?
Right.
So it's like, work, reward. Work, reward.
Yeah.
But then, when she gets a little older and she can make and she can understand and it's a little more complexity where it's like you say just like in the real world where it's like you work, you don't always get what you want. And it's like, oh, sorry, you didn't make the mark when you thought that if you worked hard enough, I would get you a car, but you missed the mark. So you got to wait another 6 months.
Yeah.
Sorry about you.
Yeah.
Because that's the real world. And that I think in that way, sort of like with Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, where you can like teach her. Even with the cool perks that we get because of the job.
Right, because I want her to be able to experience those things, but I also don't want her to be a douche.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard. And then you've got, like, okay, to make it full circle, you got the social media now with these kids.
Right.
Woo. And that's going to be a whole other ball game.
Oh, yeah. And I've seen kids, you know, the children of people's parents in this building, not in this room, but in this building. There's a lot of big personalities that have children.
Yeah.
And these kids are exactly what you say. I've even met kids in other radio buildings or just anyone who's famous who has kids. It is really hard to not make your kid a douche.
Yeah.
Because they have, like you said, they have that social media that are on IG and behind them they got this Rolex.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of Rolexes on daddy's, what do you call it, nightstand over there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shit looks cool on Instagram and people are going to get the likes for it. How can you not be a dick?
You know? And you know, and I think that's sort of, if my boyfriend Abe and I have kids, I can see that being our argument because we do that with friends right now where because of the way I grew up, I'm like, you need to learn lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got into a big fight when like Scott was drunk at our Christmas party and you came.
Shocking.
I know, right? And well, he was like, you know, like, and obviously I'm going to make sure you're okay.
Yeah.
But he was like, well, let's get him a blanket and let's get him
a blanket
off the floor of the bathroom. Aww. And I was like, no. I'm like, the first time I got drunk, I locked myself in the bathroom and nobody came to help me. But you know what? I learned how to handle my alcohol. So it's like, these are lessons you have to learn. And so, like, if we became, like, really rich and we had kids, I'm going to be like, bitch, this is my money. I worked and sacrificed for
yeah.
it. So you better go get your ass over to Dunkin' Donuts and get a job, and I will match what you make. But you ain't, I'm not handing out money freely.
No, it's tough. It's tough. And by the way, my 5-year-old, this is what makes it difficult. I was like, oh, no, we don't have money to do that. And she goes, go get some.
Oh.
I go, where do you think I go every morning? And she goes, well, all you have to do is go to the bank. I'm like, oh, sweet girl.
You're like... You just don't even know.
Oh,
don't
you
even
got,
know.
You got some training coming.
Man, only thing free at the bank. Only thing free at the bank are those biscuits and lollipops. That's
exactly.
It.
No, but that interest they charge you, that's where that pays for.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Danny, for joining us
on
the
podcast.
That
was fun. I love
this, podcast.
Man. I'm put my pants back on now.
Good.
And I love your story. You should share that more often.
Yes. Yeah, it's a
that
good story.
That is really
story.
Cool. Danny, what's all your social media?
Hey, Danny on the radio. Just search that on the internet. Anything. Danny
your
on the
Googles.
Radio. The Google
and you can hear him every day from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. on Hot 101.5. Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly, and that's everything except for Facebook. Facebook is Holly on Hot 101.5.
And Scott?
Mine is at Scott Tavlin, S-C-O-T-T-T-A-V-L-I-N.
And mine is Miguel Fuller, M-I-G-U-E-L-F-U-L-L-E-R on Instagram and Snapchat. I still post on there. And on Twitter, Facebook.com/RadioMiguel. Holly, what's all of Ryan's stuff?
Ryan's is Radio McGibb, and that's on like Instagram and I don't even know Snapchat, but on Facebook mainly because of his photography stuff, and it's MCGIB.
Yes. All right. Make sure to rate and subscribe to this on iTunes. You can also listen at hot1015tampabay.com and on the free Hot 101.5 app. Until next week, bye, y'all.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.